Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path. Headshot.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 418 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thinking Cooper, and joining me this week, Aiden Frost Rockhearts.
Hey, I'm back from the dead.
He's back, and Colton Blue Basket Sweat also back.
Yeah, not from the dead, but
a shock to us all. Though we thought his contract would not be renewed.
Yeah, I decided to. Well, they offered me an ownership part, so I decided to sign back on.
Correct.
How much of LeagueCast do you own now?
I own 33.33339%.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, it's not like Aiden's supermajority. He does own 50.01%.
Just the rest of it, Nick. Nick owns none.
He does own the rest of it. So it's kind of unfortunate.
Nick's just the secretary.
Yeah, I just took the money. I didn't take any of the stock options, and it's very not good for us now.
The $12 payout early in the
I didn't believe in the show, but yikes.
Nick was a sell. Aiden and I were the buy.
I did sell very low, though, so that's kind of bad. Hey, this week we've got new patrons, LeagueCast news, rising news, one starry little review. We got a bi-weekly discussion on top of a Medikaiser, so double dipping in the guffaws. Then we've got the LCS section. Ooh, Aiden, we saved the forgiving discussion for you.
I listened, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like you'd have a very fun take on that.
What round temperature table, do you think Aiden's take is going to be?
It's going to be fucking probably cold, to be honest. Because I feel like everyone's going to have the same take. And then we're going to round it out with some emails. But first, Aiden, how was the past 2 weeks?
Past 2 weeks were good. I hung out with my girlfriend for a week. And then I also played League when I was there while she was at work. So I actually climbed, which is cool. Since coming back, though, I hit Platinum 1. I skipped Platinum 2. So I'm once again in the lead for the race to Diamond.
I was winning for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I can't let that happen. So
and then
I,
you got back.
My game. Yeah. I'm having fun with rank, though. We were just talking about that before the show started, and it's like actually feels like a competitive year so far.
Agreed.
There's a couple games where like you get like crazy disparities. I was talking with a friend of the show, Gunday Monday, one night. We were talking about how there's still no good way to balance like champion mastery. Like if you have someone who has 18,000 games on Riven versus your autofilled top, or not even autofilled top, just a top who's playing like a new character, it's not balanced in the fact that even though they're the same rank, it doesn't balance around that. But I don't know if there's a good way to ever like do that. They can't really predict what you're gonna play, so
yeah. And that's like something that is also one of my least favorite aspects of like normals, is that I like when I'm playing normals, I don't want to play the champions I'm good at. I want to learn some new stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I get positional match made against a fucking like Darius one trick. Oh, mm-hmm. can't play anyone fun top lane anymore.
Yeah, no, I wish there was a better way to do that, but I don't know if there is.
So, yeah, I don't think
overall
there is.
Though, it's felt better so far, I think, for the most part, like compared to other seasons. So I'm excited about that. Other than that, actually, I don't think I've really played much else. I played a little bit of Legends of Runeterra last night to get back into it. I'm still really enjoying that game. I want to at least hit gold in it. I think I'm like silver 170 something points, so I'm pretty close. But I don't know if I'll like grind a diamond or anything. I really do enjoy the game though. I feel like the reward system is, I feel like I won't play it on mobile either, honestly. I feel like it's just a game that I'll play like enough. If they release new stuff, I'll come back to it. But I really do appreciate it that it has a super, super good business model. Like, I feel like I don't need to buy anything. Like, the amount of rewards you get is crazy if you play, like, a decent amount.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What about you, Colton?
Yeah. So, let's see. My week, I also played some ranked. I'm currently plat 4 100 LP. And I imagine if I win that series that I'll skip to 2. But who fucking knows? Been playing jungle again with the fact that Amumu is good now, and I played against a Shyvana that popped off and was like, fuck it, I'm going to play some AP Shyvana, and I'm currently, I think, 3-1 on that pick. Her E does too much damage, and it's dumb that that character can play AP, but also she's very good when built AP and not very difficult, so predicaments, I suppose.
I'm very glad that character got voted as the most received the most votes for the rework and then got ignored.
Yeah. So besides that, still been playing Slay the Spire, been playing some of like the daily climb challenges, which is fun. Basically it sets the beginning state of the game to the same, but it's also like pulling from some random scenarios, like all enemies and yourself start with like extra strength, or you draft your deck out of some rare cards as opposed to getting the base one. So just a bunch of different like situations to mix up the game, which as a person who enjoys the deck building genre, even more customization in that first, you know, in the starting step can really lead to a lot of fun. Been preparing for my spring break-esque trip.
It's next week, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be down in the land of the Coopers, good old Florida. So I will not be on the next show or probably streaming at all, but I'm gonna try and get at least one or two more streams in before then to kind of make up for that. Got some stuff done at work today, which is really nice. There were a couple issues that came up yesterday and was like, we need to have a meeting about this, but I'm not going to bore anyone by digging into those details on our League of Legends podcast. Here, guys, let's talk about banking.
Ooh, exciting.
But other than that, I think that's pretty well my whole week. So I will hand it over to the founding father, Nick Cooper.
I'm not a founding father, though.
Yeah, but you're the closest we have.
Yes. Hey, my week is pretty good. I started playing Devil May Cry 5. The game is super sick. What's the song? Devil Trigger might be one of the best like video game songs of all time. It's so sick.
Yeah.
It's crazy good. Aiden, have you heard it?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, okay. It's the most video game like you could get. So that's been fun. Yeah, played a little bit of ranked. I believe I'm plat 2-0 LP right now. I just promoted, skipped plat 3, POG. So the race to diamond is on. It's been slow for all of us. But we're all going, I suppose. Something that we all, or you guys failed to mention, this past week was Clash. And we played Clash on Saturday night, and we fucking
yeah, we did.
Won. We bodied.
That was a fun Clash night.
That was fun, yeah. I feel like the first two games were not close, but the last one was very close, very competitive. I felt like we were on the brink of losing very, like, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good time. Yeah, we won. That's my first Clash win. So,
and then we played again on Sunday without you. And
I was gonna say, I did not play on Sunday, and Sunday was rough.
Sunday was a little bit rough. The main thing is we won the game where they were shit talking. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. The team,
good work.
Both teams were 0-2, fighting for seventh. and the enemies had the audacity to talk shit, and then they got slapped.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. I did not watch that one, but the others were rough. My favorite part was Trevor saying don't chase 11 times in about 3 seconds, and then chasing happened.
Did I die though?
Did you? I thought you did.
No, but our support did.
I see. Yeah, I thought you guys were going to win that so hard.
Yeah. So shout outs to our boy Jello on our Discord
who filled in for
AD carry. We did a last minute call out for, hey, we need an AD carry because ours ditched us, and we picked up the, and I quote, hard stuck gold Jello, and he, I think he did a awesome job.
Yeah, he did fantastic. especially for, oh boy, game three was rough for us because we played Jinx Braum into Misfortune Nautilus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jinx Braum does not have a lot of agency in that lane.
No.
Also, Misfortune Leona might be one of the hardest lanes to play against because you can't stand behind the minions because then you get Misfortune queued, but you can't stand away from the minions because then you get Nautilus hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was scary. Line. That was scary, but we ended up winning that one, and that was fun. Clash was fun, and it worked for us. I was seeing that the subreddit was titled League of Crash, so I guess
it's just because
having issue.
EU's got delayed a week.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I mean, we're an NA only podcast.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So let's get onto the show. This week we have 4 new patrons, Brett, Mitchell, Justin, and a dorky owl. Thank you for your financial support.
Yeah, getting tons of support. I really appreciate
hell
it.
Yes.
Super cool.
Yes. On to LeagueCast news, reminding you about the patron show. We have a Patreon show that you can access for $1. We just recently did the next set of Zed Talks, Champion Fixes. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're calling it? LeagueCast
yeah.
Fixes Champions? Where we covered
The rest of the A characters and then all the B characters.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They were pretty fun.
And the first episode's also live on our YouTube channel if you're not a patron subscriber. They go live 30 days after we record and put up the episode on Patreon.
Yeah.
Cool.
Next up, the Google form is live to send us funny League videos for the You Laugh You Lose challenge. Nice. So send us funnier League or more funny League videos so we can have our You Laugh You Lose challenge.
Yeah, it's in our Discord in the announcements tab along yeah. with like any other things we post there.
And then Aiden, you want to talk about the next one? Because this is kind
yeah.
of exciting.
This one's kind of cool. So like I talked about it a long time ago, but it's like turns out it takes a lot of time to edit like video and stuff. But I'm going to be trying to put together like a monthly top plays each month from our community Discord. So meaning people who post in our hashtag best plays NA. I think that's what it's called. Is that
sickest plays NA?
Sickest plays NA. I've been pulling those videos and putting them together. I put together like a video that's already fully edited to go up on March 1st on our YouTube channel. I think it looks really good. There's a couple things that are like placeholder. Like I did a placeholder like lower third that I'm probably going to like add on to next month because currently it just has like the like Discord name of the player. But I think I'm going to put like their character name next month. But that means I have to make another full lower third. So that will be next month thing. But I think it looks good. I think the boys think I did a all right editing job. I'm pretty proud of it. So as long as
no,
it's not
great.
Like the most amount of work, I'll probably like try to do that like every month. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to submit a bunch of garbage plays to make you sift through.
This means I have to yeah. start. I actually have to start recording my
mm-hmm.
my games.
You do.
Yeah. So Aiden, what do you use? What service? Like,
so the best service was always plays.tv, but I think they shut down from what I was reading in chat. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But that's a good service. It just doesn't work for my like computer for some reason. So I use Overwolf, like it's the thing that has like different
yeah.
add-ons for various mm-hmm. games. I use an Overwolf add-on that let me see actually what it's called because it's really helpful. I really like it. This Overwolf add-on, what it does is it records like a clip on every death and kill I get in the game.
Ooh.
And it like saves it to like a folder, and it like the folder like is a max of like, say you can choose whatever file size. Mine's like a max of like 20 gigs or whatever, so it will start deleting the oldest when you get to it, which is like really, really cool. It is called Game Summary by Overwolf. So it just like runs in the background, records kills and deaths. Also has like a literally has a button that you can upload stuff right to Discord, which is cool.
Oh yeah, that's pretty sweet. Okay,
yeah,
we're gonna have to
so I'd
recommend
that. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Nice. Okay, that is it for our LeagueCast news. On to Rising news. Yeah, we already talked about Clash. Clash was pretty successful, I think. Do they have plans on the next Clash? Because I feel like the last one was about 6 months ago.
Yeah, well, this is like the official like first one. Like that, it's fully out of beta or whatever now. So I would assume they would have had a schedule, like a full schedule for it. But there isn't. So Because I would assume it's going to be like either a monthly thing or like a twice a month thing would be my guess. But they didn't seem to mention it. So hopefully soon. I really enjoyed it. I still wanted to, like, if it's, even if it's every week, who cares? I just won't play every week. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I kind of hope it is less than more than once a month, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like once a month feels good. You know, you're not oversaturating it. It's but it's still enough to scratch that itch.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I guess we'll see.
I think the other option that could be really cool is if they like split it up based on tiers. So like tiers like 1, 3, 5 happen on like the second week, and then like 2, 4, 6. I don't know how many tiers there are. Is it 4 tiers only?
Probably 4.
So like 1 and 3 happen on like the second week, and then 2 and 4 happen on like the other one. So that if you like want to or like want to watch some clash or whatever, plus that would help mitigate server load and like finding people and all that good stuff.
I feel like it would just, well, yeah, I guess.
I do think I would work for like EU where they're still having like server issues, like just from the sheer number of games are starting up.
Yeah. To me, it was also like, cause we started, I think like the tier one games start the latest, which it wasn't like super late. But if we could have started like an hour earlier, if we could have started an hour or two earlier because they staggered the games, that would have been nice. And that was the other, that'd be fun. Like pro for me of splitting it up like that.
Cool. We have TFT comps.
Aiden, more TFT news. What's happening? You guys talked about it last week. You talked a little bit about the galaxies.
The galaxies like sound so fucking cool.
Sometimes you'll get a galaxy where you'll have like Nico's helps, or sometimes you'll get a galaxy where like your first carousel is like a 4-cost unit, so you might want like build around it or whatever. Also, they were like mentioning that like by the end of the season, some of the galaxies will be like mixed together, so like they'll be like 12, but you might get like 3 in your game or something like that, which is cool. So it's completely about adaptation, which is super awesome. But they hinted at some, well, not hinted at, they literally just showed some of the origins coming into this season of TFT. And I think they're really cool. One of them is Star Guardians. So you're having like all the Star Guardian characters. And their trait effect is that whenever a Star Guardian casts a spell, it distributes mana to like the other Star Guardians. So it's going to be like a super like caster comp, which is cool. They announced Cybernetics. So this is like a mix of like project skins or, I guess like there's like Aether and Kale there. So it's like anything kind of like mecha ish. And those characters, when they have items, they get like a bunch of stats like health and attack damage, which is cool. And then this is the coolest one. They have a mecha pilot, origin where if you get all 3 mecha pilots, which are Annie, Rumble and Fizz, at the beginning of the round, they just merge into like a super mech until it dies. Mm-hmm. This mech like stuns, like does AoE stun, so it's 1 billion damage. It's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, that looks super cool.
It seems like they're gonna have a lot of fun with the set, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. Cool. We have a review from Goku 2.
From Goku 2. Do you want me to read it?
Colton? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Goku 2. 5 stars. My favorite pasta. This is by far my favorite podcast about lasagna. The details about double stacked Laguna is more in depth and detailed than anything I've ever heard in my life. And don't even get me started on their idea about double decker cheese sandwiches with Gordon Ramsay. Some sexy time comes up with when Gordon Ramsay puts his sandwich directly on top of Aiden. I have to stop or I'm going to cream fresh myself.
Hey, thanks for the 5-star review, Goku.
We did have a longer conversation than we should have about the lasagna question.
We did. Yeah. It's interesting that you did just say the lasagna in question and not the lasagnas in question.
Oh.
So, true.
Kind of like a Freudian slip there, huh? Oh, interesting. Moving on. We have a bi-weekly discussion. We're going to talk about coronavirus because it's sort of a big deal right now.
Well, it's relevant in the fact that like MSI isn't happening currently because of
yes.
it. And we were talking about this like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. We were like, it's surprising they haven't announced MSI yet. And well, this is the reason.
Yeah. So they've currently at least said they're postponing the announcement of MSI.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be addressing that as the coronavirus news and, I don't know, surrounding stuff sort of sorts itself out. So we'll probably see it soon. But it's, I mean, definitely good on them for taking proactive steps, because you don't want to get literally like continents worth of people, you know, into an arena coughing and breathing on each other.
Not only send it back that, home. But MSI is a global event, right? You have teams from every region. Just like, so obviously the problem of having it in an Asian country is you have like risk, right? Obviously of like, I mean, like look at LPL, look at even LCK right now. They're not doing games, right? They're not doing games in, in like the arenas, because just they're trying to minimize spread. But that's one thing, right? For having an Asian country, then people are saying, why don't have it in like NA or like EU or whatever, right? The problem with that is it's an international event. You trying to get players from these countries into another country is also a challenge right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You're going to have players and fans all trying to then fly internationally, and that's going to cause a lot of logistical issues. And then it'll either be one, tons of issues for the teams, or, oh yeah, teams from LCK and LPL aren't going to be attending MSI, and then what's the point?
We're just having NA versus EU.
Just smart. Just flop MSI and Rift Rivals.
Maybe NA could finally win an MSI, though. Think about
it. No, they'll lose to any
EU G2, team. Yeah. I don't know about any
EU team. Yeah, I was just memeing.
Okay. So I guess that's kind of it for that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a reasonable decision is like the reality of it, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's disappointing for sure. But there's really no way to tackle this otherwise. I'll be interested to see how the Olympics go. I hadn't considered that until I talked with a friend of us, Rick, friend of the show, I suppose. And he pointed out that like the point of the Olympics is to invite athletes from literally every country in the world. So maybe not a good idea to have them all in one place, especially in Japan.
No, we're going to lower the average of human achievement.
So we'll see.
You guys are too good. We got to bring y'all onto an arena and get you sick. But I mean, as much as it's like a pandemic and like a big thing, it's also like less people have the coronavirus than have the flu by a very large amount. And especially like for the joke of the Olympic, like those people are so healthy, probably none of them would have to deal with it.
Yeah.
People in a gaming arena, I can't vouch for. I think it's a very different demographic. But
coronavirus is not especially like fatal, as far as I understand. That it
so it was at the beginning, but like as like I was like look, I'll actually link what I've like been using as stats and stuff. It's like pretty interesting to look at. But if you like look at the stats, like if you go to closed cases, so like it's deaths at 8% of people, 8% of people who have either been like. Like cases that had an outcome, either they've like recovered or died. Look if you click on like the show. Just hit on the show statistics for closed cases. There, like look at the chart where at the beginning it shows like death rate of being like close to 40%, going all the way down to like now it's like at 8% because obviously now it's being contained, it's being actually treated, looked after. So it's kind of hard to get a better like idea of how deadly it is, but still either way it's a super contagious virus, and that's like the main problem, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, stay healthy, folks, and Meta Kaiser.
Yeah, I like your name, Aiden, so I'll let you pick it.
I titled it Softcore Orn. Nice. And then I put under it, let's talk about Orn. But I actually do think,
oh, it's like, about Orn. I thought it was about Maokai.
Yeah, just in case you didn't get it. Also, I already pre-titled the episode Orn Reborn, and in like the actual thumbnail it has two ends on Reborn, because I thought that was funny. Nice.
So we are gonna have to talk about Orn here, like it has to happen. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I already did that. No, but I do think Orn is worth talking about, mainly because he's the best character in the game. I think that's like a good start, but I also think despite him being the best character in the game, I feel like a lot of people don't understand, first of all, how much fucking damage he does. But more importantly, what his items do and when you should be building them and how you should be itemizing. Even in our fucking Clash games, I hate you guys so much. Every single game I got Orin, I'd go, hey guys, I'm going to, at level 13, I need either my AD carry or my mid laner to have a fucking item that I can upgrade. And guess what? Whenever we'd get there, no one would have a fucking item.
Hey, don't blame me. I was playing support for 3 games in a row. And
I upgraded your item before someone on our teams in one of the games.
It's because I built upgradable items like early.
Yeah, but it's like I shouldn't. I agree. Anyways,
yeah.
Ornn. Why is Ornn OP? A, because he's a tank that does maximum health damage and he can apply it too fast. Like his I guess the breakdown of it is that his passive is overpowered, right? Like the actual, I guess it's not. Is it just his breath passive? Where does the brittle passive come from?
I believe it's I think it's just on the abilities. Like it's just on W and on ulti.
Okay. I was like looking for it somewhere, but
yeah.
Yes. Anyways, oh, here it is. It is on his passive. It's just like the last like bit of text. So mainly why Ornn does a lot of damage is because Brittle is overpowered. Brittle currently, when you apply it to someone, does 12 to 20% of their 12 to 20% based on Ornn's level of the enemy's maximum health. And if you can, in certain combos, mm-hmm. you can proc Brittle 3 times. So you can do 60% maximum health damage, magic damage, that is. Just through brutal procs, which is insane for a tank.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And like the crazy thing is, it's not. I feel like he would be a lot. I mean, he'd be worse, like way worse. But it should be like bonus HP and not like bonus max HP rather than just max HP, because then he just murders squishies as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Ornn. You play him top lane, you go flash TP every single game, you pick up grasp in lane, you just trade with whoever you want. Other runes that you go are demolish, bone plating, and overgrowth. And secondary tree, you go inspiration, picking up biscuits and cosmic insight. For the stats, I prefer to go the CDR, either armor or magic resist as the second one, and then the health as the third. I just feel like CDR is like so important on his character. It's like super insane. You do hit CDR cap pretty easily, but that's not till like a later item, I believe. Later items in your build. As for build, though, your build's pretty standard. You either start Doran's shield or corrupting potion, depending on your lane, depending if you need the sustain from corrupting or not. And then your first two items are always the same, just the order you build them in are different. You either go Sunfire or Abyssal Mask every single game. If you're into an AP lane, you go Abyssal Mask first. If you're into an AD lane, you go Sunfire first. You'd always build those items. Even if there isn't like AD characters, I guess if there isn't AD characters, there's a world in which you might not want to build Sunfire. But I feel like Sunfire is the first of all most gold efficient, or second most gold efficient, or an upgrade item. And its passive is super insane, which we were talking about before the show. Like characters like Maokai are becoming good again because of the weird passive they gave to Sunfire last patch, where like when you hit people with
when you apply a hard CC, it does a little burst of extra damage. Yeah.
Yeah, and that burst is based on your bonus max HP, which is crazy on tanks. And then Abyssal Mask is actually your best item because it is, first of all, the most cost efficient upgrade. For it's like out of all the upgrades, and it amplifies all of your spells by 15% because every nearby character takes 15% more magic damage. So when you're hitting them for 60% of their maximum health and magic damage, amplifying that by 15% is a lot of damage. So Abyssal Mask quickly becomes a very important item. Other items you want to pick up throughout the game are Warmogs, Gargoyles, and then you can round it out with like either like a Thornmail, Iceborne Gauntlet isn't bad. Your boots are dependent on the game, but either Ninja Tabby or Mercury Shreds every game. I feel like it's honestly just generic tank items after like the first couple. Every game, yeah. Like you should be having Sunfire, Abyssal Mask, and Gargoyles at the very least, though.
So I want to make a couple points about his build, because I think there's a few specific things that need to be talked about specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really great use of adjectives. So
I wasn't going to mention it.
If they have, I think, a single AD or a single AP, you still get the Abyssal and the Sunfire.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the case that they have 5 AD... or like 4 AD and a pure tank, you probably skip the Abyssal still. That's possible. And I think you also, at the very least at that point, consider Instead of going Sunfire Abyssal, you go Sunfire Iceborne Gauntlet and then Abyssal, because then you get the upgraded gauntlet, which gives you more armor. Because again, that going from like 50 to 80 MR doesn't really matter if their only magic damage is coming from like their support Galio.
So I actually want to point out a an interesting little thing that maybe might influence your opinion on build order, is that you can you get to pick which Ornn upgrades you want by moving the items in your inventory. I believe it counts the leftmost. It starts from the left of your inventory and moves to the right. And it will upgrade the very first item it comes across. So if you have both a Ludens and a Death Cap, as long as the Death Cap is to the left of the Ludens, it'll get upgraded.
Yeah.
So you could double dip into that, like Frozen, I guess Frozen Fist, Sunfire. I also, like, I truly don't think you could go wrong building those two items first every single game, regardless of team comp.
I don't think it'd be bad, but I don't think it's always ideal. And I guess the only point I would make there is if you still only have two when you hit that level, it's going to upgrade those two immediately.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
The other point I wanted to just make about Abyssal Mask itself, because I think that not everyone understands how that item works exactly, is that it puts an aura around you and enemy champions within that range take bonus magic damage from all sources. So one, that's going to amplify pretty much everything Ornn does, but not his base auto attacks and not his Q. His Q is physical damage.
Also his E.
His E is physical damage as well. Yeah. You're right. Now, most of his damage comes from his W and his passive. Yeah. But, again, you know, it doesn't affect his Q damage. So just something to note. And then, again, also, if your team has a lot of magic damage, it's going to be even more efficient, because not only are you amplifying your own, but your teammate as well. But yeah, again, I just wanted to point out those that, like, I think Abyssal Mask Sunfire is almost every game, but you can skip Abyssal, I think, if they have literally five ADs.
I still feel like it's good.
That's what I was going to say. I think even in that case, like, Ornn is tanky enough that it literally does not matter. Like, it's just... I think... It also increases the Sunfire damage, like, and the little explosion that it does.
And it's the most, like, gold-efficient upgrade. I feel like it's... I'm sure there is a, like, a turning point, Colton, of, like, maybe if they don't do zero magic damage. But, like, even AD characters do magic damage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the only ones who don't
are Vayne and Draven.
I think you still get it eventually, but again, if let's say their team comp was, like, Lucian top, Zed mid, Wukong jungle, and then their bot lane was like MF support and Draven. Like,
that's a lot of magic damage.
Is it?
That is a fair bit of magic damage.
No, I'm kind of trolling you, kind of not. No.
Yeah.
But like Zed passive though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I mean, like at that point, I would say, you know, hey, if you still really want your Abyssal Mask, get it like third or fourth.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you don't want. Into a team of 5 AD, you'd rather have two upgraded armor items than two, like, split. Yeah.
Because even though it's the most efficient item, you know, plus 40 MR against a team that's going to do 800 magic damage to you all game is not efficient. That being said, again, 95% of games going Sunfire if you're in an AD lane into Abyssal Mask, or Abyssal Mask if you're in an AP lane into Sunfire, is the way to go. You do nuts damage, and you're crazy tanky.
Also, it's not the worst to go double Sunfire instead of Iceborne Gauntlet. You don't need the CD, because your build already contains 40% if you go 10% through runes. So hitting the 20 extra percent from Iceborne Gauntlet and the mana, you never have mana problems on Ornn, by the way, outside of like 1 through 6. So you're wasting how much? Oh, actually, let me look up the gold really quick. I'm actually very curious about this. Iceborne Gauntlet. How should I get to Iceborne Gauntlet? figured it out. Because I just want to like do the gold breakdown on this. Because if you're not using the mana or the CDR, yes, you get 5 more armor from Iceborne than Sunfire. But you're wasting 533 gold on the CDR and 700 gold on the mana. Right?
Plus, you're missing out on all the HP, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, you're using 1,200 gold that you should just be using on a item mm-hmm. that has better stats. Even though you're like missing out on the obviously Sunfire passives don't stack, but you get way more gold out of the 1,000. You get 1,200 gold worth of stats from the health of Sunfire, which is better.
Yeah, and so I don't think the mana you really use very much. Like, you're gonna be okay with mana anyway. I think the CDR, the way I build Ornn, I normally don't cap out CDR that early, so that's why I use part of that as my build. I get my 10% mm-hmm. from Abyssal, I get 20% from Iceborne, and then I'm either probably taking 10% based on the game, either from runes or from like a Warmogs or something.
Okay.
Okay. But again, it you can vary it up, and I think that again that gets into big details of like very specific mm-hmm. situations where you flex the build, but mm-hmm. like you were saying when you initially ran it over, his build is pretty static most of the time.
Also, yeah. I guess now that we're nearing the end of it, I think there is something to be said about full AD Ornn, and I don't think Trinity Force is a bad item on him.
Okay.
I'll say his Q. His Q has a 1-to-1 AD ratio. 1-to-1 total AD ratio, my dude. That's a mini nuke. Like, if you're building lethality, boom. Fucking. And then his E also scales off of AD, if I'm not mistaken. In addition to just the passives, you still get the thick brutal claps. That's all I'm saying. He already does a lot of damage. He can proc Sheen pretty well. That's why you build Frozen Fist on him. He can use the movement speed from Phage, attack speed and cooldown reduction from Stinger. I'm ahead of my time. Kami Genja. Kami Genja.
I don't think I will do that, no.
Okay. You just wait one day. One day somebody's going to learn.
Nah, dude. Trinity Force Malphite collapse Trinity Force Ornn.
I don't think he does.
All right. 1v1 me right now. We're canceling the show.
I don't think he does, mostly because Ornn's just a better character.
Anyways, one more thing before we go, because I think this is really important, because even if you're not playing Ornn, you'd say, why do I care about Ornn stuff? I don't play Ornn. He's the best character in the game, so therefore he's going to be on your team sometimes. Therefore, when you're building items, he gets his items at level 12. He upgrades 2 at level 12 for himself. And then at level 13, 14, 15, 16, he upgrades 1 from each ally. They're nerfing this next patch to like be 1 level later, so he gets his at 13, and then he goes 14, 15, 16, 17 for his allies. Mm-hmm. But still, make sure, especially if you're a carry, you have an item that can be upgraded by level 14, next patch that is, or level 13 this patch.
Yes.
Super, super important. The amount of gold you get from it is insane. I want to quickly go through the gold breakdowns for them, yeah, sure. If you don't mind. Forge Fire Cape, the stats you get from the upgrade is 1,667.
Whew.
Infernal Mask is 1,880.
Holy shit.
Death Crown is 1,200. This doesn't take into the fact that you get... So you get the 50. That's what it's giving you, the 50 AP. But it's not taking the fact that the 50 AP also is amplified by the Death Crown, which gives you another 22. So it's actually like 1,500.
Damn.
It's super, super good. Molten Edge is 1,050. Might of the Ruined King is 900. Obsidian Cleaver is 1,100. Trinity Fusion is 1,125. Yomu's Wraithblade is 610. Really bad item to upgrade. Luden's Pulse is 1,270. Zonia's Paradox, 850. Frozen Fist is 1,500. And then the support, Locket is 500. And Redemption is hard to measure because it doesn't upgrade stats, doesn't it, on the Redemption? What does it upgrade?
I think it upgrades only stats. And not
I think it's only stats because it doesn't normally affect the passives. I think mm-hmm. that the...
Oh, it's an extra 100 health. Oh, it's not listed because it's hard to just like look at health regen. Because it gives you 100 health, but it gives you like... gives you 100 health and 50 mana regen and 50 health regen. So it's like...
Yeah, those are odd stats to calculate right now.
Yeah, so...
I think they really, like, just hearing that, they really need to rebalance those upgrades so that they're... closer mm-hmm. in actual value. Like,
I completely agree.
You shouldn't have one that's like 700 and one that's 1800.
I mean, to be fair, like, Yumu's is a lot cheaper than most of the other items on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't,
yeah,
you shouldn't be able to get it early and I think do that, have a huge upgrade. That's the one that I can see, but the tank ones where it's literally just a numbers game.
Or like the AP one, like having your mid laner build Zhonya's versus Rabadon's. Like Rabadon's with like the factored in like passive from Rabadon's is 1,500 gold versus Zhonya's Paradox, which is 850. Like that's a huge difference in like upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, the average gold from like the like all six items, like if you average it out, if you upgrade six items, or sorry, upgrade six items on team, two for yourself, one for each ally, is 7,000 gold extra that he gives.
Okay,
you.
So important question. Their official name is Masterwork Items.
Yes.
What should they actually be called?
This shit's fucking OP items.
I like Masterwork.
No, the correct answer is Ornaments.
Yeah. A lot of people refer to them as ornaments. It's funny.
Way better. Way better.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Eh.
Anyways, all I'm saying, build those fucking items. When you have an Ornn on your team, you're allowed to be ignorant about how he works, but please build those items. You'll make your Ornn so happy, and they're so gold efficient. If you're like getting crushed in lane, and then they upgrade your Infinity Edge, so it gives you an extra 1,000 gold worth of stats, hey, that's all. Like, how much gold is 1,000 gold in like waves? In like CS, sorry.
1,000 gold worth CS, of CS is like probably 50
like 50 CS.
Yeah, around there.
That's insanity, right?
That's insane.
So by Ornn hitting level 13, you get 1,000 gold for it being an AD carry.
But you need to buy the item.
Yeah, buy the item. That's all I'm asking. Buy the item. Or even type to your Ornn. When you have a Yomu's and you're like, hey, hold on, bro. I'm going to get a better item in a second. Don't upgrade this. He probably won't upgrade it.
If you sell a Masterwork item, can he upgrade a new one?
Huh.
I don't know. Probably not. Probably buy it back, I bet.
I think we should find out. Like, hey, upgrade my Zhonya's for now, but once I finish my hat, sell it and upgrade the hat instead.
Yeah. That'd actually be worth it, probably. The cost differential, I would assume, would be worth it.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. That's Ornn. Please play him. Please play around him properly.
Yeah. LCS. So let's talk about the Forgiven situation that we we have not mentioned yet.
Mm-hmm.
So Forgiven kind of just like quit on his team in Shaka, and then just fucking blamed everybody except for himself, even though he was having a shit split, if I'm not mistaken.
He just doesn't look good on the new AD carries at all. He looks bad on Senna and Aphelios. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
So, I don't think it's as big of a deal as everyone's making out to be. I still think he's a fucking moron, right? Zero PR skills. Like, fucking idiot. But there's people who are like, he shouldn't be allowed to play in LEC again. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? yeah, he's a fucking moron. This probably will end up costing him, like, his career if he wants to play again, right? Like, what team's gonna fucking want to pick up a player who... literally shit doesn't go their way and they go, I'm fucking out, and then shit talk their own team on Twitter.
Yeah, social media.
I don't think he's gonna be picked up again, but I think like banning him is like fucking stupid.
Yeah, he basically just like fucked his own career.
Yeah.
And at the very least, I think the only way he's gonna get back into the league scene is as a streamer or as like a positional coach internally, but I don't think we see him in a professional team again. Like, there's so much liability there that you're picking up for. Yeah, just hey, look at me. I'm just gonna shit talk my team on Twitter. Like, no org wants to pick that up, and at least currently he's not good enough to warrant that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if Faker was shit-talking SKT because they, like, benched him or something, somebody else would pick him up. But
people were making the comparison to Teddy on Jhin Air last year, being on literally a team that got relegated, but actually being a shining light and just, like, keeping your mouth shut and playing well, and now you're on SKT. Like, that's how he should have done it, right? Is just play well on a shit team. Don't get me wrong, his team was pretty shit. And then just, like, hold out for a better team. But quitting is fucking sad, man. Just quitting is just don't give up. Like, come on.
Yeah, I agree. They also did beat G2 the very next game.
I don't know if I believe that, though. I think that's a fucking meme, dude.
No. I mean, they did beat them, like, period. Yes, it happened. Yes. But I don't think it was, like, it was fluke. Yes.
They're not... either fluke or literally... Like, I'm going, fuck him. You know what I mean? G2 just, like, not actually... Because that was a fucking funny game to watch from G2, man. They just played, like, shit.
Yes. Yes.
I could easily see that being, like, a, like, ah, fuck Forgiven. Let's give them a win sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. But it just, like, pretty funny to talk about.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking puts the nail in the coffin.
Brown table.
Last week's question that you guys... brought up was, which champion do you think is the most fair?
Aiden?
I was thinking about this. My answer is so fucking vanilla, man. I think almost every character in the game's fair.
Ooh, okay.
I really do. Like there's very few characters that I think are actually unfair. Like, sometimes you go, oh, that's fucking bullshit, right? But for the most part, aside from, like, assassins who one-hit you, like, with almost zero counterplay... Even still, like, there's itemization counterplay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just feel like there's very few unfair characters. I thought Aphelios was probably the closest thing I had, but that was because of clarity. But I think that's even getting better. I still think he needs a couple of clarity things. But I actually think mechanically, like, almost no characters unfair, if that's
okay.
Kind of a cop-out answer. But I feel like that's pretty
realistic.
I think
it's realistic. A good one, though. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Steve said, from our Facebook, said, Braum, he's all based around on how well his ADC, him and his ADC work and can easily be exploited. His wall isn't impressive as Yasuo's because after the first hit, which still applies on hit effects, it will still do damage to him at least. I think Braum's wall is a, like, better worked version of Yasuo's, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it only goes in one direction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so the argument against Braum's wall versus Yasuo's is stationary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just walk through it.
I guess the difference is that Yasuo can go through it like a madman.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Okay, yeah, I feel like it's cool, though. I think Braum is a good answer.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Ashley said, Brand, all of his abilities are easy to see and skill shot dependent. His E is a point and click, but very short range. If you don't group up, his ulti and passive do nothing, so there's good counterplay. He does a lot of damage, but has low range, no mobility, and is very squishy, so easy to CC and burst. Therefore, he can get his... burst before he can get his combos off. If you fuck up, though, he destroys the whole team. I think Brand's a great answer.
I agree. The only part I disagree about is he can just ulti before he dies and still probably carry the fight.
That's my favorite thing, when you're like, when you, like, they jump on you, right, because you're like, yeah, such a carry. You're playing like, yeah, support, but you become a carry, so the assassins start to dive you, but you just, like, throw out that last second ult and it fucking nukes people.
Yeah, you get off one passive that procs to you, that procs the other two, and then the game's over.
But yeah, I think he's very squishy. He's, like, very squishy, yes, and he's short. He's very short range, which I also think makes him, like, more fair. Greg said, Set.
Oh boy.
I don't understand how people think this character is so busted. He literally walks up to you like he's Jason Voorhees, like he has empowered autos and overloaded W. His E is okay, but the range isn't super good, and his ult is pretty much useless unless you grab a fat boy. Literally, once he hits his W, after it's on cooldown, you engage. He used it to wave clear, you engage. He used it in exchange, you walk past him and wait for the shield to fall off, you burst him. His kit is pretty fair and open in my mind, in my opinion. Other than the W, I think that's fair. I think the W is still fucking horseshit.
Yeah. The W shouldn't do 200 true damage, like, with no grit or items.
I just wish the rest of his kit, like, I do agree. I think the rest of his kit is very fair. Almost too fair, right? Like,
yeah,
even it's, like, stun after they've hotfixed it now. So you definitely have to have a target on each side to, like, stun people. Like, that's a very fair ability to play against. Make sure you're not between him and the minions, right? Like, it's... But yeah, his W is still pretty fucking bullshit. Ryan said, Annie. I think Annie's combos have always had a fair amount of impact. Never too much, never too little. Yeah, Annie's, like... I think Annie's pretty cool for the most part. Other than her being a point-and-click character, but I don't think being a point-and-click character makes someone necessarily unfair.
I don't think so either. I think it's... In my opinion, just the fact that Annie's literally a stat check the character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she either one hits you or doesn't, and that's how you play Annie.
I wish her bear was, like, better. Like, you never see the bear just fucking run someone down and kill them. Dessa said, bias, but Vel'Koz. All skill shots, true damage, and slows to compensate for immobility. Gotta have good positioning. The ratios are fine and aren't overpowered or underpowered. If you can't dodge, that's your own fault. Yeah, I feel like as soon as you play enough games of, like, understanding how his Q, like, can be angled in different ways, he's, like, pretty straightforward for the most part. Also super squishy.
The only issue I have with Vel'Koz is he gets to a stat checkpoint where you just press R and 100 to 0 someone with it. I think that the only thing I might want to see is that, like, the first stack of his passive needs to be applied by something else, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can actually one-hit anyone with just his ulti, like, unless he's, like, egregiously fed.
I think what Colton means is the fact that his, like, it's not really his ultimate, but his passive. Like, his passive is, like, the strongest part about his kit, probably. It's just that his ultimate, like, procs that, like, the quickest out of anything else. So when you do just ult someone, it procs your passive, it does a lot of damage.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, for sure. But it also has what I feel like is low base damage and low ratios to compensate.
I agree. I just think that...
I think it's pretty fair, though.
His passive is, like, almost, like, might as well be written under his ultimate, right?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Connor said, Soraka's always felt fair to me. She heals a ton. Her entire kit is balanced around that. Really focused champion design. I'm a fan. She only really feels unfair when people don't build healing reduction, which I think is most of the time.
Well, agree to disagree.
I think her healing is fair. I think sometimes the ult gets a little bit much, in my opinion. But like the Q and the W fine, I think her E, I fucking hate her.
Yeah, her E is like probably the least fair single ability in the game, honestly.
It's very strong.
Real
like
good.
It has very high base damage. It's an instant silence with potential for hard CC later.
Mm-hmm. I feel like her healing's not bad, though. I feel like she's a healing character done right for the most part, though.
Yeah, I guess
just
like
the silence is kind
of
lame.
The health cost just isn't enough, I think, for the amount of healing it is.
I think what I'd want to see, in all honesty, is something along the lines of either like the cooldown or the cost is increased if she's in combat, so that hey, in lane she can still be a nutty healer, but you don't get that team fight where five people are piling onto a Draven and he's never dying because Soraka spamming W.
Yeah, cool. Chris said, Yumi. As much as I've talked about her in the past, I took a 3-month break between seasons. I came back to a bunch of tiny changes that I actually think has her in the healthiest position possible. They restored her mana game from her passive auto, but hit her in a few other spots, like the single charge for her E and slight channel time on her initial W. I think it more clearly creates a workable plan to counter her with the right picks, whereas before I could pick her into literally anything besides Thresh and Nautilus to and be able to abuse her game. I think so as well. I honestly don't think Yumi's like that gross anymore. I think there's a couple combos, like when she's on like an Olaf or a Yi or like just some like really hard like 1v5 character, it gets a little bit annoying. But like I actually think like her as a character is like fine now.
I still think Set Yumi is such a fucking fun bot lane.
It's yeah,
fucking Cho'Gall.
Mm-hmm. This one's my favorite one. Actually, I'll save that one for last. From our Discord, we have one from 8-Bit Toaster. He says it has to be Jhin. He makes you feel overpowered but isn't too broken. That's why in 10.3 he has between a 49.5 and a 50.5 win rate. He doesn't have any broken dashes, flip moves, or invincibilities. The whole point is just being good at dodging. I don't know, I think fucking fourth shot's a little bit horseshit, but who am I to say?
I think it's just hard to like talk about 80 carries as balanced because it's always just numbers with them. Like whoever does the most damage, like, is going to be the best character, and like that's why I wanted to mention that I don't think win rate is a good metric to measure with.
Zod said Xerath skill shot champion with punishing combinations and clear weaknesses, clear indicators of ability, straightforward to outplay or get outplayed. Possibility the champion with the least amount of what the fuck is that champ or balanced comments.
That's fair.
I think Xerath is like pretty straightforward. His alt, like you not knowing how many alt charges there are because it changes based on levels, is a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like it's super straightforward.
Yeah. Also, well, okay. The only other thing I would mention about Xerath is that his stun scales with distance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit it as a longer skill shot, the stun is longer, and I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm. There's no other stuns that like change based on distance in the game, right?
I don't think so.
Not
I think the only one that
anymore.
Did was old Taric stun.
Yeah, Taric did. Ash ult, I guess you can count.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, Ash ult, for sure.
Is there any stuns that, like, the duration changes based on anything else, though? Or no?
Other than like level of the ability and tenacity, I don't believe so.
Do you remember the days where every like almost every ability in the game, like specifically, I think it was
Nico snare.
That's true.
Oh, the back part does less.
Yeah, no, the back part does more.
If you hit a unit, it
CCs from longer. What were you saying, Eden?
I was saying that you remember the days where like knockups in the game were like a range of CC.
Oh yeah,
depending on how far. It wasn't even. It was just random. I think it was random. It was like Cho'Gath knockup would stun you knock you up between 1 and 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Depending
on how thick your character is.
I'm glad they got rid of all that in the game, but there was a lot of that like garbage in season one. Yeah. Here's my favorite one though. This is from Rengar equals best champ in the game. He says, Rengar is the most fair champ because he's a glass cannon with clear strengths and underlying weaknesses. Lack of mobility without his ult.
Do you want a character have clear strengths but underlying weaknesses? I feel like if they have clear strengths, you also want clear weaknesses.
Maybe.
It shouldn't just be like, oh, they have very obvious strengths and like sometimes they're a little weak.
There's weaknesses like, somewhere in there.
Yeah, good luck.
All right.
That's funny.
And I had an idea for an item when we were talking about how knockups used to be variable.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're just going to call them, like, heavy shoes. And okay. they reduce your movement speed by, like, 15, or maybe they only give you, like, boots one level of movement, but you just can't be knocked up anymore.
Ooh.
Like, they'd have to really, like, fuck you movement-wise, but you just can't get knocked up.
Ooh, alternatively, clown shoes... But the duration of CC is random. So you could RNG that Warwick stun to be half a second, but you could also be there for 6 years.
Nice, nice. What if heavy shoes were inactive? Get like a 10-second window where your shoes are real heavy, so you've slowed yourself, but you can't get knocked up.
I like it.
All right, heavy shoes, Riot. Put it in the game.
Hell yeah. This week's roundtable question, though, is what champion would change the most if friendly fire was enabled?
Karthus, boom, next question.
Quick clarifying question before we decide Karthus. can you now CC your allies as well as damage?
Yes,
then?
Anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I think some other...
I think Karthus.
I think other notable mentions,
though. It's still Karthus.
I think other notable mentions... are gonna be like Yasuo wall. If it blocked your ally skill shots too, that'd be sad. I think characters with big AoE damage, so like Fiddlesticks or like an Amumu, if you just like fucked over both teams, that would be notable.
Would Nocturne's ulti also turn your screen like on your ally screen?
It would blind your own screen and you wouldn't be able to select an enemy to ult onto.
Maokai, he'd never fucking hit an enemy with his ulti, dude. It'd be teamed every time.
I also wanted to mention one cheese combination that I think would be hilarious. Alright, so friendly fire's in the game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You pick set support, and your AD carry just hits the set a bunch of times, so you get the powerful W.
Oh, alternatively, you pick set support or AD carry, and then you pick a real tanky boy, and then you just fucking ult him into the enemy team.
True.
Oh, bring him in. Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Also rise, because the enemies are just TP with him.
All right, but wait, Tom Kench, because you can auto-attack your AD carry 3 times, then you don't get fucked on the cooldown of his W. Hala Blades Tom Kench because W works now? OV, back to worlds.
How would Yumi be if you get attached to an enemy? You just attach to their jungler and then try to smite steal.
Oh my god, that'd be so good.
Oh fuck.
Good conversation, guys, but Karthus probably.
It's Karthus. Almost certainly Karthus. I was trying to find a better one, man, but I don't think there is.
I think another alternative is like... maybe Zillion, but only because then you can misclick enemies and then you instantly lose the game.
I think so. The closest two I had were Urgot, because turning on your Gatling gun's a nightmare. You just can't be your ally.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And the other one, I this is like more like a good positive one, but I want to find a world in which you can like Mordekaiser all your ally and it's positive.
So you just,
you just bring him into a safety zone.
Yeah,
you just want Tom Kench to be viable.
Yeah, I'm imagining just combinations that would be possible now. Like if you, I don't know, you were like Aurelia and you use the dash resets off of your allies to get into a team fight.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
there'd be some funny combinations there for sure.
Teemo.
No, big brain, yikes. big brain. Get everyone on your team fed. Pike shuts them all down, gets kill gold for all of them.
True.
Ooh, OP. Just manufacture gold.
That'd actually be so sick, though. Whenever your ally's literally gonna die, you just fucking execute them for gold.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Oh, I thought you're denying like, as soon as they champions. Spawn,
you just execute them.
I mean, you could do that like, as well, but like, it's also like a like get out of jail free.
I think Pike might be better.
Yeah, Pike's actually pretty insane.
Because you could deny the enemy team the kill gold as well as doubling it for yourself. So it's like the kill gold swing of like 4.
Yeah.
Because him getting a kill with his ult is already 3, right? Or is it 2? Yeah, and Kane? Then you're also denying one.
Pardon me, what was yours?
What about Kane? You get the jumped. Fucking earliest orbs.
That's whoa, fair. So many orbs.
You're just sitting in base, like, spamming Q level 1.
I love how we're just cheesing the shit out of this.
It'd be fun if, like, they just were able to turn on friendly fire for, like, a mode or something.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I wish they wouldn't even announce it.
April Fool's just friendly fire's on.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Ezreal Q like, into the back of someone's head.
They'd have to do it in bot games or something, like a Cope vs. AI or bots or, I don't know. Yeah. Like some, they'd have to have some sort of other queue if they're just going to randomly turn it on, but I feel like that'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, just this theory crafting of ways to make it benefit you is so fun.
Ooh! Ooh, okay. I would be fucking remiss if I didn't mention Sylas. Fucking no, double Malphite ulti?
Yeah, just steal your... That's actually so sick.
That's sick.
Mm-hmm. I'm down. Nice. Anyways,
if good you luck wanna... finding getting better ones, fuckers.
Yeah, if you want to send us your response for... what champion would be the most? Wait, would be what champion would change the most if friendly fire was enabled? I was trying to figure out like how I worded that. Then you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeakCast. Send us an email, mail at leakcastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord, leakcastpodcast.com/discord.
Pog. On to mail fight, Aiden. I would like you to read the first one, please.
We got this like 3 weeks ago, but we forgot.
Yeah, I do apologize, Caitlin.
So this one is, hey guys, who the fuck is Chouster, and what the fuck does top percentage mean?
Aiden?
League historian Aiden Frost Rockarts, tear on the scene.
So, a long time ago, there was a CLG player named Chouster. He played AD carry, and then he switched to support, and he, supported Doublelift and taught him how to play AD carry. Then there was always the meme of, Chouster, top fucking percentage, meaning top fucking percentage is from what's that originally from? Oh, it's the youngster Joey thing, right?
I think
the,
so. Yeah,
the Rattata thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the gist of the meme about Chouster and top fucking percentage is that he always thought he was the fucking best at the game. Don't get me wrong, he was fucking good. He probably was the best at the game at one point. You know what I mean? He was fucking good at the game.
If he wasn't the best, he was definitely like one of the smartest.
But the thing is, he still to this day, I'm sure of it, believes he is the best League player at the time, like, ever. You know, like, I'll link it now. I have it pulled up. I saved this, like, when we got the email, but, like, we never talked about it on the show. If you ever get time, read his twit longer. This is when, like, Link did the, like, Dunzo Manifesto, and Chouster posted, like, his thoughts on CLG and went through every iteration of CLG. And he goes through every single player and talks about how good they were, all this shit. He talks about how my favorite, this one's good, Saint Vicious. Saint was a really funny guy. When I first met Saint, he told me he was going to med school and that he worked at a fitness club for $60 an hour as a personal trainer, and that he and that certain girls he chatted up, etc., etc. Haha. Eventually I found out that Saint was just a pathological liar. it's fucking funny, right? It just goes on. He gets a Doublelift. My favorite thing, Doublelift's so fucking good. He pretty much says Doublelift's like just a trash player. He's just like not, people look at Doublelift as a mechanical player. like, and that Chester was the brains, double was the mechanic player. He doesn't even think that he's like that mechanical of a player. The TLDR for Doublelift is, I taught Doublelift how to lane, but I cannot teach him how to play the game. Right? But my favorite one, he goes, after he goes through every single player he's ever played on Sealed, he goes, myself, in the beginning, I was a god because I played the game nonstop. I could play anything and everything, and I could beat everyone. I was the best AD carry by a wide margin until I had to start duo laning. As the meta changed, my ADC ability decreased, and I was not able to play hyper carries in team compositions with only two threats and also having more farm. So at times, I would be too passive in teamfights. Around this time, I switched to support and made everyone become more of a man in the bottom lane as I taught everyone we played against how to play the lane. Sadly, it is around this time that my feelings for the game took a strange turn. I became more complacent and became engrossed in my own personal relationships instead. Because of this, I stopped playing the game. Saint and Scar expressed sentiments in the past where they said that they'd never see Chouster, that they'd never see Chouster play solo queue, as I never did. I simply stopped, and I used Double's excuse that solo queue wasn't similar to real games and had no carryover. Even though I knew better, I just pretended to agree so I could do my own thing. Luckily, playing support was not very mechanically intensive, and even during my prime as a season 2 support, I was not playing the game as much as I should have. I was simply riding the wave with my slowly declining skills. One of my favorite memories was doing well at MLG Anaheim with X-Hazard as our ringer. We managed to get second place with an incredibly inexperienced top laner. Doublelift and I attributed our victory to spamming Diablo 3 the weeks prior to the tournament. But he, honest to God, like the TLDR from like the Reddit thread when this came out was, oh baby, Chouster has something to say. Edit. TLDR, I was a god. But he thinks so highly of himself, which he, don't get me wrong, he was the best, but he thinks of himself as like a fucking savant. And that's like kind of where the meme comes from, because he's top fucking percentage.
Everything I say is right.
Yeah, everything I say is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Chouster, though. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. Hopefully that explains.
Yeah, go read that tweet longer at some point. It's really funny.
It's pretty good. Next email's from Speedy Spikes. Hey guys, here's a couple thoughts for you to meme on. If you could give a skin to another co-host, what skin line would it be from, and what would it look like? Such as Project Colton, definitely not Aiden, etc. Disclaimer: I'm a Cloud9 fan, but that shouldn't discredit facts. Of all the facts I've read that got me hyped for how good C9 is playing so far, the one that blew my mind is they have yet to lose mid turret. At least as of Thursday when I'm writing this. That fact, paired with how much Nisqy roams, is mind-blowing to me. Thoughts on that stat? Number 3, roundtable answer. My first thought of fair champion is, can any champion have viable counterplay? One champion stands out at first, and it's Evelynn, the assassin that can be countered by only a 75 gold item. Control ward. Unlike most other assassins, she doesn't have any dashes to close the distance on her enemy, and only her ult to get out. Even her charm can act as a warning to an enemy who might have forgotten to ward up. Yes, a good Evelynn player can path around common control ward bushes, but 75 gold to dampen a potential snowbally level 6 reliant assassin seems fair to me. Until next time, Speedy Spikes. So what skin are we giving each other? Definitely not is a good one.
Can we just get definitely not Aiden, but it's just Trevor?
I'm gonna look up one while you guys are thinking really quick. I'm gonna look up a cool skin line. It's gonna be like the best one.
I want Star Guardian, Aiden.
Yeah, I'd be a good Star.
That's a good one.
Either that or actually, can we just get Pajama Guardian League Cast?
True.
That's what I want. And I want Riot to send me a onesie. The end.
Good one,
so you
man.
Can finally get it's tough. Fuck you. It's tough. So I'm gonna go with Infernal Aiden, so because he just fucking flames everyone.
That's, I don't flame anyone. I'd have team shot off.
Do you remember? Mere weeks ago when you would flame our team in all chat because you had team shut off?
I didn't flame. It was what did I say? He that guy was talking
flame?
Shit. You let me know that he was talking shit. So I told him to fuck right off in all chat. In my defense, if you didn't tell me that he wasn't flaming, I wouldn't have said anything.
My point stands.
I got one for Nick. It's like so they have it classified as the day job skin line. So Nick would be like accountant Nick Cooper.
Nice, good one. Wow, I'm glad you made us wait all that time for that one.
I want to get pool party Nick Cooper.
It's so boring and it fits
good.
You.
Good. Wow. Nice fucking win ratio, Verge. How about that one?
You know what, Aiden, I've got a skin for you. Because this is going to make you happy, all right?
Okay.
High noon, Aiden.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
I got one for Aiden. Ooh, you ready?
It's going to be an insult.
How about program Aiden? Because that's the fucking dog shit and it would match you. How about that?
I thought you were going to say because I'm a bot.
No, I don't believe that.
Nick, how about Omega Squad Nick Cooper? But it'd be Omega Lol Nick Cooper.
Nice. How about Beta Squad Aiden?
Oh, got him.
New skin line never before seen.
It's just a pre-existing skin line. That's fucked up, dude.
Ooh, yikes. How about Astronaut Aiden? Because you're out of this world.
Thanks, that's sweet.
Pussy.
Cool.
Nice. Okay, next one. What's the most, what do we think about T9 not losing their mid lane? Turret.
I don't know if that's true anymore. I remember seeing apparently CLG aced them or something, like either last week or the week before or something like that.
Fuck yeah, they did. And then you know what happened?
I know they didn't take a second tower. They never got they only got outers that game. So I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. C9's good. I think the rest of NA is fucking dog shit. I honestly think NA as a whole has regressed from last year. Like,
oh, for sure.
It's bad. I don't think NA gets out of groups, like, again, period.
I mean, this is really far away to say that, but...
Well, is it?
I think it is. I think it's super far away.
Well! Yeah, probably. That's cool, though. Like, C9's bodying, and that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they lose to every other major, like, region's top team, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't know. Their comps seem pretty boring, but hey.
Yeah.
They're winning.
Cool. Thank you, Speedy Spikes. Sorry. Next email.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Did you?
Doesn't seem like getting there.
Did we even talk about Evelyn? I feel like maybe I wasn't paying attention.
We didn't talk about Evelyn. I mean, she does have a dash. Her E's a dash.
A little.
I mean, and then she once hit. Fuck. Never mind.
All right, next email's from John.
She wants issues to with people.
Issues with top lane that I hear about are: one, bad matchups are not fun. For example, tank into Jace. Two, even with a lead, it's hard to make a difference on the map. Three, junglers never visit the lane since dragon's on the other side of the map. Here's an idea for fixing top lane. Behind the alcove, put a portal that transfers to bot lane. And there's some other things that can be altered for balance. The other end of the portal could be on the bottom rightmost part of the map, or it could be in the center of bot lane, or it could be like randomized in a circle. It could be like the earth cannon and you get to choose, but there's like a lockout period. There could be a cooldown, so if you enter it, it's open for a set period of time, but then it can't be used again. Like you couldn't dip down and then go back to top.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, maybe one person from each team can use it in a certain time period to prevent like the duo lane going top. Either that, or they could also just make the transfer between lanes delayed a few seconds. So just a couple of ways to pitch that going from top lane to bottom lane. What do you guys think?
So I kind of hate this idea. I think this is a very bad idea that completely destroys teleport as a summoner spell. However, I think the only way you could make this work is if you had like a 5-second channel period, in which case any damage period would like any damage full stop would interrupt it. So that way there's adequate, like, I don't want to be playing bot lane and then the top lane like Riven just fucking walks through the wall fucking Pac-Man styles and then eats my asshole with her ulti and ignite.
Yeah.
That's awful. I hate that.
It does sound fun.
But like, that's fucking cancer. But I guess like if there's a very long channel period, in which case even minion damage could interrupt it, like then I think it would be more okay.
I feel like they were testing like some sort of like top lane portal thing at some point, like before like the season, like behind the scenes, because I was hearing rumors about it. I'm not sure if that was like real or like fake. But I would like some sort of like thing to like. I feel like teleport's not a good spell. I feel like they need to eliminate that somehow. But I don't know how to do that. So.
Yeah. Me either.
Teleport's boring.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, John. Next email is from Qmez. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. He's in the chat with us. Hey, dudes. So I've been listening for a while, and I've got some things to say. First off, you're the best League podcast that I listen to. The other one I listen to is all right, except sometimes I tune in and it's a couple of older guys bullying a kid who sounds suicidal. I wonder if you can guess it, but I don't encourage talking bad about the competition. So good on you for doing that, or for not doing that. I believe Aiden has already figured it out and also reached out to the people.
Yeah, I just messaged them. I'm friends with them. They thought it was funny though. So like,
no hard feeling.
Like, they thought it was fucking hilarious. So.
Yeah, I didn't word it like that. But. Yeah. Or word it well. Also, Zed Talks, that's such a good name. I love every segment is a pun on a champ name. Okay, now that I've buttered you up nice and good, I'd like your opinion on something. As folks who are higher elo than me, Silver 4, baby, what do you guys think of the idea of a website that lets folks share lesser known tips on their favorite champs' interactions with other champs? For instance, as a Quinn main, I see folks occasionally that don't know Quinn can vault over walls or vault flash to avoid abilities aimed at where she would land. For instance, Talia's E would fuck a Quinn or vaulting Quinn up good. Some sites like this exist, but aren't well maintained, Law Counter being the main one that comes to mind, or have other issues, lacking features primarily. It feels like there's a space in the market, but I want to know if you guys would use such a website, or if you think lower ELO folks, given they could find it on Google, would benefit from it. I have some hopefully constructive feedback for you. Aiden is usually a bit louder than Nick and Colton, and it makes listening a little bit of a chore because I have to occasionally adjust the volume up and down. Admittedly, I listen to LeagueCast at nearly full volume in my car on the way home. Might just be that Aiden's got one of those voices, but you know, if I don't say anything will change. Best, thanks for doing what you do. Best regards, QMS. I could not read that very well at all.
I was going to say, you should have also given some feedback about Nick's ability to read the English language.
Yeah,
reading.
Jesus. Yeah. My writing, ha, idiot.
My speaking, idiot. Your writing.
God, and I need the voice lessons.
I've started to pronounce the T in idiot very hard recently.
Why?
And I think it's hilarious. Idiot.
Stop.
Ha, that's so funny.
No.
So.
Just wait till you guys do it.
Do you guys think that you would utilize a website like this?
No. I don't think I would pull this up before I load it into a game, but if there were a new champion that were released, maybe? But we also have, like, a combined 30 years of League experience. So.
So I think the biggest thing is that those really specific, unique interactions, a lot of times either everyone knows them or they don't matter enough to be known. Like, they are 1 in 100 times will this interaction actually benefit you. I think that there is a space for it. And I think that having just these unique interactions isn't really the place. I think, if anything, like, in the wiki is probably where I'd want to see it, is, like, a section for specific and or unique interactions. Because if I'm, you know, taking a look at a new character I want to add to my pool, or they've changed someone and now they're suddenly good, the thing that I might look up, if anything, is going to be, like, pro builds to see what runes and masteries are being used and what items, and then the wiki to find the flat numbers on their abilities, ratios, etc., because that stuff's not in the client.
Quickly, what's one specific interaction or, like, whatever, like, niche interaction or whatever for a character that you play that people wouldn't know? That you, if you were to, like, fill it out, what would you put there? Come on, you guys all gotta have one for a character you play. Like, just, like, one thing that people probably don't know.
I don't play any characters, I'm sorry. I guess I would, like, talk about the way that Zilean Q will latch onto an ally before it will latch onto an enemy, before it will latch onto a minion. So if
let me double check
that's the actual way that works. But there is a clear hierarchy there. Let me double check that before I say that. As someone who plays a lot of Zilean, I should know that. But
yeah,
hey,
I mean, I would believe you. It just is a surprising fact to me.
Mine would be that, hey, when you're playing Tahm Kench and you want to take Scuttle, you can eat the Scuttle, take it to the part of the river where there's the blasting cone, the part that goes into the Tribush on blue side, or on the blue side Tribush on you know where the blasting cone is though, right? That little there's a little cove there kind of, and you spit it in there. And if you auto it in a certain position, if you auto it, when it's in that little cove that you spit it into, it can't get back to river. So you can just auto it there and you're out of river. So you can take Scuttle without people finding you really easily. It's what a useless piece of thing, but it's super useful if you're ever in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't have one for the characters that I play, but if you dodge Darius ulti with Shaco ulti, it refunds the entire cooldown to back to Darius. So you cannot play it. He'll just ult you again. That's good to know.
Pog.
Colton, any update?
I'm scrolling through a whole lot of Zilean stuff right now.
Okay, well, you can...
I'm finding some threads of ways that they suggest it should prioritize, but I'm not seeing one that's just
it how should be current. Enemy... champion, ally champion, enemy minion, ally minion, I think.
So it's saying one thing that I like that it's prioritizing is it's putting unit that already has a bomb on them.
True.
I will do some research while you read the next email and try and tell us the definitive Zilean master.
Great. Next email is from Charcoal19. Hello, LeeCast. So for the past month or so, I had only played all random Earth games. So let's just say adjusting back to normal games is tricky. I was playing a Talon game and I used ultimate then died. When I came back, I assumed my ultimate was back up and went deep before dying. On the subject of Talon, how good is he in the jungle? It doesn't feel too bad when I'm not sure what my jungle objective should be. But I'm not sure what my jungle objective should be. Gank, Power Farm, or Drake. What if the new jungle champs... which of the new jungle champs from 10.4 is your favorite? Sincerely, Charcoal19. P.S. You me bad, not me good. I don't think any of us have played any of the new champs, but I believe that Garen is probably the most busted.
Really?
Because I think he can take Raptors in a single E.
I feel like Poppy is probably the best, but that's because she was the closest already being a jungler.
What did I think they're making proposed changes, right, for Poppy? They haven't gone into effect yet?
Did they not go through? I felt like they did.
I don't think so.
Let me look at 10.4. Was it only Darius, Garen, and who's the third?
Darius, Diana, Garen, Gnar, Mordekaiser, Talon, and Zed.
Maybe the Poppy ones are proposed then.
Yeah, they are proposed because I think they're alongside the, or they were supposed to be alongside the brand changes. Mm-hmm. The brand jungle changes, because I'm very excited for that. I think Brand could be a sick jungler.
Yeah, no, Brand's always been not the worst jungler, by the way, because he can proc passive on camps. He's just he gets really low, but he clears fast. As for the new changes, I don't think any of them are actually that good. people thought Darius is going to be really good, but all the Darius change really does is makes him a better solo laner.
Yeah, that's kind of the big scary thing.
He kills you, then he goes to your Crux and heals.
Yeah. I do think there could be, there's something to be said for Mordekaiser and Garen, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, those are probably, once again, they're probably the next two closest, viable junglers out of those, though, right?
Yeah. And I do think Diana was sort of already a viable jungler.
Mm-hmm.
So she just got buffed.
That's what I'm thinking about the Poppy changes when they go through, where there's, buffing her, numbers to creeps. Jungle monsters. It just makes her a better jungler when she was already a playable one.
Mm-hmm. I think she's a pretty decent tank jungler.
I definitely don't think the Talon ones makes him a jungler, by the way.
No,
if that's what we're trying to get at. I don't think being able to make them bleed helps you out too much. You're still very single target for the most part. Like, yeah. Your rake really doesn't do that much for clear.
Yeah, until you get Tiamat. Mm-hmm. But then you have to go Tiamat before your jungle item.
Mm-hmm.
So. Thank you, Charcoal. Colton?
Yeah, I was not able to find anywhere that definitively said.
Hey,
so
I'll believe
I will,
you then.
I'll test it in a practice tool, but I believe the prioritization is allies, then enemies, then minions. And it prioritizes, I believe, yourself over other allies.
That's so dumb. I hate that so much.
But it definitely doesn't prioritize units that already have a bomb on them, huh. Which is a proposed change that I came across a lot, which I think would be nice.
I have a cool interaction that happened to me that, like, I think should be fixed, and it reminded me of the bomb. I thought it was Stillian Bomb, but I realized it was Fizz Fish, so, like, that's why I'm on this tangent. But if you throw a fish on a person who's reviving from GA or Zillion ult, they can just flash out of the fish.
Like, it doesn't latch onto them?
They have to move for it to latch onto them.
Oh, so if they flash and then move, rather than move then flash?
Yeah.
Huh.
Even if you put it dead center on them, they have to move. They have to input in a command.
Nice.
Huh.
I just had a thought that'd be funny to try and do, like, a Lee Sin Fizz combo where you throw a fish on someone and then kick them into the team.
Yeah.
Do you think it works that way with normal champs? It's just everyone's moving all the time?
I wonder. No, because no, there's no way, because it latched on like a skill shot, but it's on the ground, it's something else, right? It's not a skill shot anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it becomes a different like entity.
Yeah.
Wonder what would happen if you flashed onto it.
You could probably take the damage and die. I imagine.
I think that the fish should be respect your courage and just go away.
I wonder if you flash onto it and don't input anything.
So the issue there,
it doesn't latch onto you, but it does eat you.
That's the thing, is you still get hit by the damage, but I don't think it would latch.
I don't
know. Take that, Fizz. You didn't latch your ulti on me, bitch.
I bet you'd need to do it on Zoe so you can double flash and flash in and then flash out of it.
Does Zoe ultimate count as a movement command?
I don't know.
So you revive from presumably GA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you got from killing a minion.
Yeah, and then you just ulti out, but it doesn't latch onto, or does it latch onto her and goes with her through the portal?
I don't know, dude.
I just feel like the way it works is like when it's on the ground, it like looks for like movement changes is the way I think it works. So like even if you flash on there, I think it will like look for like someone moving to that spot. You know what I mean?
When it's on the ground, it can only see movement.
Yeah, it's like a T-Rex.
Okay. So if you're perfectly still and then you flash out of there, it can't see you. Just like in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. That's funny.
You mean Jurassic Shark?
Thank you, Mr. Goldblum. Nice, Jurassic Shark. Good one. Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Cool.
Next.
So why don't you read the all the way up to number two? I'll read two and then you read the last ones.
Okay.
This is a very long email. All
right. Hello. It's your boy. I'm the fishy here. I have a couple things I want to talk about. First is an update for the benefit of everyone on the podcast about the jungle champion pool changes, aka steal your junglers' camps and buffs.
Ooh.
Second is a talk about the jungle meta, and third is opinions on season 10 overall changes as a whole, and what changed from patch 9.23 to 10.4. So. Part one, new junglers, better laners. Zed is not viable. Don't try it in ranked, folks. B, Gnar is almost viable. Being able to manage your rage is super beneficial. I think with some minor buffs, he'd actually be a better jungler than a top laner. C, undecided about Talon. I think it's hard to figure out without a lot of experimentation. Tiamat just slows down the lethality item so much. And the same with the jungle item. The lack of levels makes the value of lethality go down, and same as the lack of gold. Split pushing as a jungler typically isn't great, and the keystone choice is a little difficult between Dark Harvest and Electrocute. I would experiment more, but I'm content to just leave him mid. D. Diana is a better jungler now. She already was great in the jungle, now she's a little better. Still think mid lane's her best role, though. E. Garen is a noob trap. No CC, no gap closer, no burst, don't bother. I think Garen's probably pretty good too. Predator Darius is pretty fun in norms, but not as effective overall compared to top lane, but it's annoying. I haven't played it, but I think Predator Darius is probably actually pretty okay. Or sorry, Darius jungle is probably pretty okay. I don't think I'd go Predator. Mordekaiser is similar to Darius, but less effective. You don't have all the levels and gold to use your ultimate on laners, so you lose a lot of potential. Overall, they all have a below 47% win rate, except Diana, so I'd say this is a failure. I was disappointed, particularly since I thought Talon and Gnar were going to be very effective. So a lot of that's going to be people playing them in a role that they're not familiar with, on a champion they're not familiar with, is going to deflate win rates on basically any new change to the game. I haven't played any of these since the changes, but I know that I had seen successful jungle Zed, Talon, Mordekaiser, Darius, and Garen up to diamond levels doing just fine when people know how to play them properly. So I think that buffs to that just makes them still a little bit better. Are they, regardless, better in their primary role? Probably. Can you make it work? I think absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you can make any jungler almost work.
Yeah, I don't think the jungle's hard enough for you to not be able to play whoever you want, really.
Yeah, I think if you're not giving a stipulation of like how something needs to be built, I think you could jungle any single character in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I could probably... I mean,
you're going to get dicked by the meta junglers, but...
Yeah, but, like, I could probably find a way to make Yuumi jungle work up to, like, gold.
That'd be like, the only tough one, I think.
I think, like, that's, right, the hardest example. Yeah. And I think it would still be doable.
Yeah, like, probably.
It would take some workshopping, and you'd have to figure out a very specific strat, probably a duo strat. But you could probably make it work.
Yeah. The next part of his email: now that we've seen jungle meta settle back into Lee Sin, Elise, Gragas, and Rek'Sai meta, with special guest member Olaf and visitor Karthus, what do you think Riot did wrong in trying to implement a farming jungle? What steps could have been taken? I personally believe that since you can't have a jungler outlevel a solo laner or get more gold no matter what, it becomes more effective to be an early game jungler, especially with the constant objectives. I therefore think that the only way to knock the early game junglers out is by directly nerfing them. I think jungle is a neglected role when it comes to actual balance changes versus reworking jungle camps. You don't nerf Aphelios by making minions harder to farm. Same goes with jungle, or perhaps Riot needs to accept jungle as an early game support. I personally don't think we will ever see power farming jungle back. I think that's far more boring for both spectators and for everyone playing the game except for that one particular player. And I don't think it's a very healthy like game play style, I guess, to promote. But I could see like later game champions, like later game skirmishers being more effective as the more meta like champions get nerfed.
I think that jungle's in a real good spot right now.
I think so too.
With the change to Bami Cinder, I think that that put tanks back into the pool. I think that already there is a strong set of power farming scaling junglers, and I think there's a strong set of early game gank heavy junglers. I think there's a strong set of objective control, like vision, like there are junglers that I think are very good in all of the niches right now, and that's where I want jungle to be, is that you can see, hey, they're taking an early game jungler, but all of our lanes have priority, so maybe I don't have to also play one, or none of my lanes have priority, so I have to play someone who can counter ganker. They picked a heavy farmer, I'm going to pick someone who invades. Like, those decisions I think are good, and I think that the current state of things, particularly with that change to Bami Cinder, I'm a big fan of. I think that there are still plenty of minor tweaks, but I think the overall health of the jungle is in a good spot.
Sweet. Last one, Colton?
Yeah, Aiden, did you have anything you wanted to add to that, or...
No, I think the jungle is in a great spot. Like, I thought it was already a pretty healthy role before, but I think that, like, tanks were, like, a little bit on the weekend. But I'm really glad that Bombi Sinner is kind of, like, helping them out, even though they had to hotfix it a little bit.
All right, part three of the email. Overall, do you think the changes since Season 9 have been positive? I think the new champions don't really add anything new to the game. I think support item changes are overall negative, since they only buff early game and haven't changed the pool of champs there. Jungle champion pool hasn't changed, and the buff gromp path, I believe, is detrimental. Wolves are still useless. I think the map changes are cool, but dragon changes are overall negative. I think herald changes with two spawning is good for solo queue, but bad for pro. Minion XP changes did nothing. Alcoves are okay. I think the balance changes, in particular to Kiriana and Akali and jungle champions, send mixed message about what Riot feels about flex picks. The ranked reset was overly harsh, but for a good reason. I'd personally would rather play Season 9 than Season 10. Sincerely, I'm a fishy. What do you guys think about that part?
All right, so I guess, like, one at a time, I think support item changes are fucking great.
I think they're
I love not having to worry about my gold generation item, and it makes so much more sense to me. Like, I could just, okay, I've got a good early game, I can just go straight into Knight's Vow. Like, I don't have to upgrade my support item to be able to unlock wards.
The only negative about the support items is that I don't like how you don't how you lose access to the like,
yes, I agree.
I understand they want to cap gold, right? Because, like, there was problems with, like, support items being, like, just a better item to buy than, like, for, mm-hmm. like, actual laners. But, like, I wish, like, even if you didn't get the gold, like, you could still have, like, the proc for, like, the execute.
It could change. It could change, though. Like, they could switch it so that, yeah, the execute at that point, because it doesn't give a heal anymore, right? It just gives gold.
No. I think that's the only one that needs to go, or that needs to come, or stay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything else, like, leaving is fine. Yeah, yeah. But the execute feels bad.
It feels weird. Like, you used to lose the execute at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, what would be nice on the other ones with the tribute passive is, instead of giving gold, it's like when you hit an ability, you get some mana back. Because a lot of times, cool. there are characters that, yeah. because they have to build a certain support path, are pretty capped for mana.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be a nice little thing. Just like, hey, you get, like, 10 mana back if you hit an ability. Like, it's not going to be broken, but it would feel nice that you still have those passive stacks to do something with.
I guess, true. Like, the main idea is that, like, they don't want to generate you gold anymore because you're only paying, what, like, 350 gold or whatever the fuck it is for an item that's worth, like, I don't know, 2,000 gold or something by the end of the game, and it gives you 1,000 gold in income. Like, they're super grossly cost-efficient.
That's fair.
So I guess that's why they don't want to give any more power to them. But I just think the execute one just feels weird. Where, like, I'll be it mid does. And I'll go to, like, last hit and I'll last hit one, and then the second one I'll just steal from my AD carry and I go, oh, oops.
Yeah. Whoops. All right. Alternative tribute idea. When you're at max, like, level and you lose the bonus gold or whatever, instead you unlock one digit of their mother's phone number.
Ooh.
So eventually you're gonna be like, all right, guys, they've got nine of my mom's number. Like, I can't fight anymore. Thank you for coming to my Zed Talk.
That was really funny, Nick.
Thank you. I thought it was a lot funnier than... we'll fix it in post. You guys will laugh. Sorry, I was talking during that one. Okay, ready? All right, now one... Oh, sorry. One for Aiden. Okay, thank you. You can clean that up.
So we're going to finish that email from MFishy.
Shut up.
Fill us in a little postscript. Poor Akali, may she forever rest in peace. So that way the balance team won't kick her while she's down, and that way they won't make her invisible to turrets. Why was that even a thing? Oh my fucking god, that champion has had quite the ride, and I don't know whether to feel relieved or enraged. It's almost as bad as Aatrox. Probably comparable to Sylas, except he got fixed in a year. More like Yumi. Fuck Yumi.
I think Akali's still fine.
I felt like she's that, pretty that good, yeah. whole thing should be
I think she's still fine, straight up.
Like, yeah. I've only played her in A-Rhyme, don't get me wrong, but she still feels like the exact same character.
Yeah. Also, I'm not going to let Colton fucking bulldoze the show like this. We're not done with question three, Colton. I'm for the people. I'm the man of the people.
My bad.
People's champ, maybe?
The people's champ.
Do it, Nick.
Oh, Bobby Scar. So, I mean, the champion pool, jungle champion pool, I mean, whatever. Like, buff, gromp. Yeah, that kind of sucks. I don't like that you can, I guess, yeah. I don't like that you can three camp and hit level three, but, although you can't with buff Gromp, right? Or do you?
You can three buff level three. You can take three camps and hit level three, yes.
I don't like that. I think you should have to take four or three and a half, something like that. Yeah, we'll still feel useless. That sucks. Dragon changes, I think, are overall positive. I think you get a lot more like skirmishing early, and it's way more impactful like for decision making later in the game. Do you trade a third dragon for an inhibitor because it gets them, you know, 5 minutes closer to Dragon Soul, something like that? Stop me if you guys disagree. Herald changes, I think, whatever, doesn't really change anything. Bad for pro play, probably. Alcoves are okay, yeah. I think, like, in regards to flex picks, it's difficult because I feel like jungle flex picks are different than lane flex picks. And I think Qiyana and Akali were too good at what they were doing. Like, Qiyana in the jungle was just too good. But I guess we'll see. They're like slowly buffing these characters. And the fact that you talked about these characters and none of them were like oppressively broken is, I think, is a good sign for the messages that they're trying to send.
I've had this opinion for a while, but I feel like having flex picks is so bad for the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think it's a great concept for the game. How about that? But I think in like reality, having a character balanced for two roles almost always means that they're stronger in one of the two roles, which means they're probably too strong.
Oh, absolutely. I think like a flex pick in general indicates that they're stronger in their second role than they should be.
Yes, I think that's usually.
Because then otherwise they would never be a flex pick.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think another way to say it is if they are viable in their worst role, they're too strong in their primary role.
Yeah. I agree. I think
to a certain extent.
Yeah. I just feel like it's such a cool concept, and it just doesn't work in a game that has such like finite balance.
Yeah, I think it's super great for pro play and super bad for solo queue.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, I'm a fishy. And that'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. We did it. Follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Send us emails, mail at LeagueCastPodcast.com. We stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardout. I streamed our Clash games, and Colton has been streaming ranked like a madman.
Yeah, Solo Queue City.
Yeah, check out our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. You can find our Discord link on the main page on the little widget, or on LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week for 419. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.